coming to you now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Well, greetings and welcome again to Bread of His Presence. You know, if you've been with us the past couple of weeks, you'll know that we've been looking at a very interesting term in Scripture called the yoke. And we've been doing so in light of Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, in which he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Now, yoke, as we have seen, was so much more than just a wooden apparatus that was used to bind two animals, usually oxen, together. In Jewish culture, it was used in a metaphorical sense as a symbol of slavery to a foreign king, maybe even a national king, and at times even to sin. But it was also a symbol of freedom when a person chose to become yoked to God and to his law. And within the rabbi-disciple relationship, yoke was used to describe what was seen as this glorious, wonderful experience of coming under the authority of your rabbi, binding yourself to him so that in doing so, you might become just like him and join with him in the work that he is doing in the world. But there's another facet to all of this that we cannot afford to miss, and it also seems to undergird Jesus' use of this word yoke in this passage. We've already seen that Ben Sira, the famous 2nd century BC Jewish sage, he taught about how we are to be yoked to wisdom. And Jesus' audience would have immediately thought about wisdom. But in the Mishnah, the ethics and sayings of the fathers, we find that it also talks about being yoked to Torah, to the commandments of God. And elsewhere in the Mishnah, it also talks about being yoked to the kingdom of heaven, which, keep in mind, is about God's rule and his reign advancing in the world, coming under the yoke of his ways, his commands. And so it's all connected. You advance God's kingdom, living his ways out in the world, by yoking yourself to God and to his word, to Torah, as your greatest source of wisdom. And then, ideally, you help others to do the same. Now, in light of that, and here's where it gets very interesting, what Jesus may in fact be doing here in saying, "my yoke," is that the Torah and the commandments of God are ultimately his own words. They are my yoke. And you know, that fits so well with what he's doing in the other allusions he's making in this passage. In saying, "come to me," we saw that Jesus was actually quoting from Isaiah chapter 55, in which we find God himself extending this invitation to the people of Israel, following the exile, promising to meet all of their needs in abundance. Then Jesus goes on, saying, "all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that phrase he was pulling from Exodus 33:14, where God had said to Moses, who is pleading with God to go with them to the promised land, God said, "my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." And so once again, what seems to be happening here is Jesus is seen to be once again quoting God's word as his own. He's taking something that belongs only to God, and he's appropriating that to himself. And Jesus seems to be doing the same thing with this word yoke. The yoke in this context may have meant the yoke of God's law. And so once again, he's appropriating something that belongs to God and to God alone as his own. And he doesn't say it once, he says it twice. And what his audience heard him say was, the word of God is my word. It is my yoke. All of Torah, all of the commandments, all of wisdom, the very rule and reign of God himself, his way, going out into the world, that's my yoke. I am the one who gave Torah. I am the word made flesh. I am the greatest interpretation of what God's will and way looks like in the world. I am the one who teaches and interprets it. Oh yeah, and by the way, I am the embodiment of it. It's all from me and is about me. You know, last week I mentioned somebody that my son dearly loves, and that's Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow. My son just loves him. And of course has a MyPillow. Imagine one day Mike Lindell saying, you know, not only did I invent my pillow, I invented the pillow. And not only that, but I invented sleep and rest itself. And if you want to rest at all, you have to come to me. Only I can give you that rest. I mean, can you imagine? Jesus is saying, you want life? Attach yourself to me. Become yoked with me, because that is the only way that you are ever going to find rest. Knowing me and knowing my word. You know, some time ago, I found myself lying back in a dentist chair awaiting a root canal. I was a little bit less than eager to undergo that procedure than I have others, but I was glad that my wife, who is a dental assistant, was assisting that day. And it was going to be somewhat of a less ordeal than my wisdom tooth extraction had been several weeks prior. But you know how it is when you go into the dentist. It's the same as when you take your car in for repair. There's always something else wrong that needs to be fixed. And sure enough, I was not disappointed. Although most of the procedure was kind of uncomfortable, not too bad. I remember they laid me flat for some of the procedure, and I actually fell asleep a number of times, which is not entirely unusual. This was a good thing, because my dentist got to observe me while I was dozing off, and she did not like what she saw. There were times that I would stop breathing, I would start gasping for air, and she could see that the formation of my throat caused the airflow to be restricted. So I wasn't getting enough oxygen while I was sleeping. It's called obstructive sleep apnea. And she rattled off a whole list of symptoms, one of which was not feeling rested most of the time. And every one of these descriptions matched me beautifully. And I was so glad to hear all of this, because suddenly many of the symptoms I just thought were part of who I am turned out to be treatable. And she informed me that there's a device I can get that can actually open up the airway in my throat so I can get more oxygen. And it works by really holding the lower jaw forward to open up the airway. But do you know what it's called? Listen to this. It is called the Moses. A simple little device that, when applied, can allow breath to come into you and allow you to get rest. Ultimately, that is what Jesus came to do. To take God's law, the law of Moses, though it's ultimately God's law, and apply it to our hearts. You'll remember that through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord declared in Jeremiah 31:33, "But this is the covenant which I will cut with the house of Israel after those days, declares Yahweh. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Jesus came as a fulfillment of that passage. And he's saying time and time again, if you want to have life, if you want to have rest, come to me. I am the one who can restore your life. Now, let's fast forward for a minute to a place in Samaria called Sychar. Usually Jews would go around Samaria, which Sychar is a city of, because of the absolute hatred between Jews and Samaritans. Rabbi, ought I to forgive my brother? Yes, he's your brother. Rabbi, ought I to forgive a Gentile? Well, yes, Gentiles are created in the image of God, so yes, you need to forgive them. Rabbi, ought I to forgive Caesar? Yes, he also is in God's image. Rabbi, what about a Samaritan? Oh, no. You don't have to forgive a Samaritan. They're half-breed traitors. They aren't even human. You do not have to forgive them. That was the attitude. That is what rabbis taught. Now, Jesus no doubt shocked his disciples when, in going up to Galilee from Judea, he cuts right through Samaria. And he probably shocked them even more when he sent them into the city to buy food, because any food that you would buy from a Samaritan was automatically treated as unclean. But they do it, and while they're gone, he sits by a very particular well. And a woman comes there to draw water. She comes at the sixth hour, Jewish time, which is noon our time, which automatically shows us that something's wrong with her. Because women would draw water in the mornings, not at noon in the full heat of the day. But here comes a woman to the well, which they've discovered, by the way, and is a well that is actually far away from the city. There were many wells that have been uncovered that were much nearer the city, but she chooses to come to the one that's far. Another sign that something's not right. But it says in John 4:7-14, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How do you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me, being a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst, ever. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Now, why does Jesus say this? Well, where in the Old Testament is living water mentioned? Well, let's go back to Jesus' very first words in our passage today, where he says, "Come to me." We already discovered that he was quoting from Isaiah 55:3. Well, what does it say right at the beginning of Isaiah 55? "You there, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost." Jeremiah 2:13 says, "For my people have done two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Jeremiah 17:13 says, "O Yahweh, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you will be put to shame. Those who turn away on earth will be written down, because they have forsaken the fountain of living water, even Yahweh." What is Jesus saying? Who is the living water? God. Who is Jesus? He is the one who, being God, brought God to us in our flesh. In the most intimate way he could, he bound himself to us and offered to us his yoke. And what does he say we have to do to yoke ourselves to him, to get that living water? Well, he says in verse 10 that all that would have been required of her was to ask of him. And that's the word I want to leave you with today. First, do you want to become yoked with Jesus and his life-giving presence? Do you want to bind yourself to him, to share his load in order that you might also share in his life? If so, and you haven't already done so, or perhaps you feel that you've been bucking against his yoke for some time now, and you want to recommit your life to him, all you have to do today is ask. And he will abide in you and give you his spirit. And he will produce his life in you. Ask him today. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening. And may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.